Okay, that's it. We're recording. Okay, so we're on. I'll begin on Kuf Hamad Bey is exactly right. Let me first do the Mishnah on the top line on Kuf Hamad Bey's 105b, the top line, the Mishnah. So he says, if a person rips a garment in his anger, in other words, he's just like, distraught, and he rips the garment, or somebody died and he rips the garment. And the Gemara makes clear we're not talking about where he's an avel and he is a chiyuv kriya for some of these people. He's just upset that somebody died. The cholam makalkalin and any makalkal is destroying something. So I'm just destroying something on Shabbat, paturin. So that's all patur. In other words, I'm just destroying something. I'm not doing a malacha. But makalkal, I'm not latakin, shiro kimitakin. But if I'm makalkal with intent to be mintakein, like korei alman atlet for, let's say the garment is uneven and I'm ripping because I want to sew it, so then the shear for that ripping, then the ripping would be a malacha, and then the shear for that ripping would be like the same shear. So if it's sewing, it would be like two tefirot, the amount to rip to do two tefirot and everything like that. Shear. Excuse me. Shear hamalabein v'amenape tzvatzveva tova. The shear for malabein is like laundering clothes. Menapeitz is like untwisting the thread. Tzveva is dyeing, and tova is spinning the thread. Kimlo rochav hasit kaful. Now rochav hasit is, if you look at my hands, the distance between the index finger and the middle finger. That's the sit. So the Tana Mishnah says the shear for that would be kimlo rochav hasit kaful, twice this amount. In other words, if I have a thread and I launder the thread, that amount of thread, so I'll be chayav for malabein. And the same thing with menapeitz. Now, one second. Yeah, so they said to disentangles is the way the art scroll translates menapeitz. Okay, v'ha'oreg shnei chutim shimro k'melo hasid. If a person weaves two threads, so shir is k'melo rochav hasid. It means if I do two threads, in other words, I'm weaving. So I have the lengthwise threads, and then if I do crosswise two threads this width, then I'm chayav for the malacha. Okay? Any questions on the Mishnah? Everybody good? Okay, nice to see you this morning, Ruth and Livia and Yosef and Aaron Gershon and Fern. Okay, now, I'm going to slip down to the bottom. Today's Kuf, or the daf I'm doing is Kufav, but if you slip down around the seventh very wide line, and there was also interesting Gemara here where it said, he says, "Kach." The second white line, "Kach." When Toshel Yitzhara, he Yom Merlo will say, "Kach." And across the Kach, Shemuel Avodah Rozara. Like he, like the Yitzhara starts like slow, and tries to build up with a person. But I'll begin around the seventh very wide line, where it says, "Amr Shimon Pazi Rishimon Levi." So it's one line above the small tzadi. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amr Shimon Pazi, Amr Shimon ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kulamori Demar Al Adam Kasher." If a person like gives tears, he cries for an Adam Kasher, for an upright person, an Erlach Mensch. He cries for that person. He says, "A Kadosh Baruch Hu Sofer Amanichan Beikin Azav." A Kadosh Baruch Hu will count up those tears and put it Beikin Azav in his storehouse. In other words, the idea is, That's appropriate. I assume he means that the person had passed away. I assume he says Shneamar, Nodi Safar Ta'ata. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, like, my wanderings you counted, Sima Dimati Benodecha, put my tears in your little container, Alo B'Sifra Techa, like you haven't encountered that. So it means it's something to be Mori Demaud Al Adam Kasher. Then Amar Yirma Rav, Kol Mitatzel Behespido Shel Chacham. If a person is lazy, he's dilatory in giving a hespid, a eulogy for a chacham, for Tamid Chacham, Ruila Kovro B'Chayav. That person is worthy to be buried in his life, meaning to have his life cut short. Shneimar Ba'ikruuto B'Gvul Nachlato, Betzminat Serach Asher B'Har Ephraim Mitzafon Lahar Gaash. that is talking about Yehoshua, and this pasuk is in Sefer Yehoshua. It says they buried him b'gvul nachlato b'tfinat serach. They buried him in Timnat Serach, which is near Har Ephraim, mitzafon lahar Gaash, to the north of Har Gaash. So Har Ephraim is mentioned elsewhere in Tanakh. Har Gaash is like nobody ever hears of Har Gaash. And so what is it mentioning about mitzafon lahar Gaash? What is that term? So the Gemara says, "Melameh shuragash leim har lahorgan." So the Gemara is darshening out the word Gaash as if it's spelled Ragash, that Hashem caused the mountain to tremble to kill them. In other words, it doesn't mention that they did a hesped for him, and so that's why by Yehoshua. And that's why it's saying like Hargash, like the mountains trembling to kill them. The they mentioned here in the Art Scroll a piece from the Chasam Sofer. He connects it to the Gemara earlier. So we said that at the time Matan Torah, Kafalim Har Kegigit, that Hashem, you know, held like the mountain over Klal Yisrael like a vase. So the question is, and he says, you know, if you accept the Torah, fine. Otherwise, Shamtei Kuvurachem. Otherwise, this will be your kever. So the question is, why did he even have to do that? They said, like, Naaseh V'Nishma. So one answer that's given is they were willing to accept the Torah Shebichtav. The Torah Shebaal Peh, that they were more hesitant about. So then, when they saw the mountain, they went for it. So when a person isn't Misabel, he doesn't, you know, give a proper hesped for a Talmud Chacham. So it's like he's like cutting back on this aspect of Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, he's not Machshav Torah Shebaal Peh. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is like going back. Well, let's go back to the other way we had with the mountains over your head, and then you get covered with it. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, now Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Tatzel Behespedo Shel Chacham, Eino Ma'arich Yamim. If a person is mitatzel, he's lazy, he's dilatory with giving a hesped for a chacham, he's not ma'arich yamim. So the first we said that he's ra'u l'kovro b'chayav, he's deserving of being buried in his life, and it was like, you know, having the mountain over him. And now we're saying, Eino ma'arech yamim, a similar idea, he won't have a richas yamim, a long life. Mida keneged mida. In other words, he wasn't machshiv the life of this Talmud Chacham, so Kadosh Baruch was not going to be machshiv his life. So he says, Shneamar, b'sasab shalcha t'rivena. This is a pasuk, it's in the Haftorah for Parshat Shmot, b'sasa'a, b'shalcha t'rivena. B'sasa is like a measure, like in other words, like from a sa'a. B'sasa'a, b'shalcha t'rivena. So the way that Rashi explains over there, and the way the article brought down, that in the same measure that a Kadosh Baruch Hu meted out to the Egyptians when they were forced to let the Jews out of Egypt, so if the Jews, you know, don't, you know, follow things appropriately, they'll get the same thing, mida keneged mida. In other words, just like the Egyptians got mida keneged mida, so too, you know, it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So now, so like b'sasa abishalcha, in other words, with the measure that when I sent out the Jews to Rivena, I'll contend with her. In other words, the Jewish people also have to contend with this idea of mida keneged mida. So here, when the person's mitatzel, he doesn't give the hesped for the, or he's just still delaying giving the hesped, so then Hashem will cut the person's life. Now, Epe Reb Chiya Bar Abba Reb Yochanan. Reb Chiya Bar Abba posed the following question to Reb Yochanan. This is pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. It says, "Vayavdu am and Hashem kol yimei Yehoshua," that the people serve God all during the lifetime of Yehoshua. "V'chol yimei zkenim asher harichu yamim acharei Yehoshua," and during the life of the zkenim, the elders asher harichu yamim. It sounds like they had a long life after Yehoshua. So he said they didn't give a hesped for Yehoshua. It doesn't mention Tanakh that they gave a hesped for Yehoshua. It says, in other words, it says by Moshe and Aaron, it says that they had a whole period of avelus for them, 30 days. It doesn't say anything like that by Yehoshua. So Chazal take it that there was not a proper hesped for Yehoshua. So, but nevertheless, you said you're not going to have a richas yamim, but here it says the Zkenim did have a richas yamim. So how do you reconcile that? So the Gemara says, Amar Le Bavloi. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Ruchi Bar Abba, Babylonian, he was from Babel, Yamim Harichu Shanim Lo Harichu, that they did have, like, they had, Arichas Yamim means things were good for them. In other words, like, they had a good life. It was if they had been poor, they're wealthy, things like that. That was good, but they didn't have a long life. In other words, the quality of life was good for them, but they didn't have a long life. So even that was stating the fact that it says, Asher Harichu Yamim Achari Yoshua, it doesn't mean longer life, it just means the quality of life was better for them. So the Gemara says, Elam Yata, Laman Yivu Yimechem, Yimechem, Yamim V'lo Shanim. So you're going to say, how do we say in the Pasuk that we say in Kriyat Shema, that, you know, you should follow the mitzvot, so you'll have a lengthening of days. Laman Yivu Yimechem, Yimechem. So it says, just means like the qualitatively the days are good. So bracha shani. When Hashem is giving a bracha, that's different. In other words, everything, every pasuk has to be interpreted in its context. So when the pasuk is giving a bracha, so then memela, then we're entitled to assume that that you're going to have it. But but with this kanim, he quotes here in the art scroll, they should have spelled it out if that was the way it meant. All right, let me just do one more line and then I'll pause on the bottom line. But Amar B'chibar Abar B'yochanan, Echad Min Ha'achim Shemeid. Let's say you have a group, let's say five brothers, and one of the brothers dies, Rachman Leslan, top line, Kufav Min Aleph, Yedagu Kola Achim Kulan. So all the brothers should worry. In other words, that it's like, be concerned for Din and Shemayim. It's like you're like a group. So one member of the group. So he says, Echavi b'nei chabura shemeid, if one member of a group, so the Achim were brothers, now it's, if one member of a group dies, tidak kula chabura kula, the whole group should worry, but be worried about that. He says, it means worried for themselves, for everyone else, because he says, amri lo demeit gadol, so some say it means if the gadol, let's say you have a group, and now the gadol is taken away, so now the whole group has to worry about it. But Amri Lada Meikatan, some say if the least member of the group dies, that's the way it goes. So let's look at Rashi, the top line of Rashi, or he says, Yedagu Yerumen Amita, they should all be concerned for death. He says, "Demei Gadol Yeshadog Hoil V'Shalta Midah Din Rosh Habayit." Since the Midas Hadin is striking the Rosh Habayit, is like the head of the household, so to speak. Amri Lada Meikatan. So there's another member of Chazal. When it comes to punishment, we begin with the katan. So they're both things that a person should be concerned about. Okay, who's in any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Fern?
Do we know why people didn't give a proper hesped to Yahushua?
No, I don't know.
Why would that be?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. Don't know. All right, you know, the Navi also brings down with Shaul, they didn't give a proper hesped and they were punished for it.
He said, was more controversial, I would think.
All right.
Toward the end of his life, at least.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, we're moving on. Okay, mute. Okay, thank you. Now the next piece, Gemara, is a little complicated. We're going to do it the simple way, and then we'll try to drop the complicated way, and we'll see how this goes, okay? So the third line on Kufav Man Aleph, 106a, line 3, okay? So he says, V'chol mekalkalim p'turin, any mekalkalim. Mekalkalim means destroying. So if I'm doing a destructive act, I'm not chayav for malach on Shabbat. And when I'm doing constructive act, then I'm chayav for malach on Shabbat. So Tani Rabbi Abahu Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Abahu taught the following braisa before Rabbi Yochanan. Kol mekalkalin p'turin chutz michov elam avir. He said that all mekalkalin are p'turim, are exempt, except for chovel umavir. Except for chovel is a person who makes a chabura, he makes a wound in somebody. That's so that I'm doing something destructive. And mavir, I'm burning something down. So the way he's teaching the braisa, that every, you're right, mol mekalkalin except A and B. So Amar Lei Puktani the Bra. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, go teach that braisa outside the base medrash. He says, Chovel Mavir ain't a Mishnah. Chovel, that what you taught about Chovel Mavir, that's not a proper teaching, and so there's no exceptions. Bim Tim Salomar Mishnah, and if you want to say that it is a proper teaching, Chovel B'tzarech L'Kalbo, Mavir b'tzarech l'efro. So then, it can only be chovel when I wound somebody in order to get the worn animal, to get the blood out of the animal, to feed the blood to a dog. Then it would be doing something constructive. Mavir b'tzarech l'efro. If mavir, if I need the ashes, that would be something constructive. Now, the thing is like this. So Rashi brings down, let me say the outside, then we'll do it inside. So Rashi brings down, we know that Chovel and Mavir, you're definitely Chayiv from the Gemara in even if I'm destroying something, even if I'm destroying something. We know Mavir was one of Lamentet Malachot, but they would be Mavir to create these coals is what they were Mavir for. Lasot Pachamim, they made coals. But even if I'm destroying something, I am committing an aveira on Shabbat. We know that. So the Gemara in Bava Kama says, if I'm chovel b'chaveru b'Shabbat, let's say I wound somebody on Shabbat, so I'm patur from teshlum, I'm exempt from financial payment because it's kim le b'drabba mine. Kim le b'drabba mine means if there's like a greater offense and a lesser offense, so everything is included in the greater offense. So the greater offense is, since I'm machal Shabbos, I'm doing a capital crime. I can be executed for that, so I don't owe you. So it means like, let's say I take my knife and I stab you on Shabbat through your fur coat, and the fur coat is worth $20,000. So I don't owe you the $20,000 for the fur coat, because the act that I did was a capital crime for which I could, under the right conditions, be executed for. So that's kim le v'drabba mine. So, but we see from the give and take of that Gemara that chovel is something that I'm chayev for. I'm not chayev for the fur coat, because I did an act of chovel at the same time, and chovel is considered Michal Shabbos. And then the Gemara also says elsewhere in Bava Kama that if I burn down your gadish, your pile of grain on Shabbat, that pater from teshlumin, because I did an act of being Michal Shabbos by being mavir. So we see clearly from those two cases, when I'm chovel, I wound somebody, and when I'm mavir, I definitely violate Shabbos on a Torah level. So much so that the Gemara says I should be pater from tashlumen. So the issue is, how do we mark off this chovel or mavir? So we're getting into it, but the Gemara is going to say that there's machloket between the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only case that chovel, when the Gemara says that chovel amavi or chayiv, it means in a limited situation. If you're chovel and you want to get the blood to feed your dog, you're mavir and you need the ashes, then that's what the Gemara is talking about. And then, and under those circumstances, you'd be chayiv for chovel amavir. Otherwise, not. And the Tana Reb Shimon holds, no, there's a special gilui mikra that those two are always chayiv, even though they are mekalklin, they are destructive acts. And it means Rabbi Shimon would be mechayev you for a larger scope, even though they are destructive acts. The Torah teaches me that you're chayev for it. Okay, that's the short synopsis of what's coming up. Okay, so let's go back.
I have a question.
Please wait, Ruth. Okay, and I'll pause in a few minutes. Okay, just take a pen and write down the question or think it over. Okay, so the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yochanan believes Halacha is like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So. Rabbi Abahu came and taught the Braisa before Rabbi Yochanan, and he said that Chovel and Mavi are exceptions. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Puk, you know, Tani Lebra, teach that Braisa outside the base medrash. That's not a reliable Braisa, because he, Rabbi Yochanan, felt like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that Chovel and Mavi is the only exception when you need the blood to feed the dog or you need the ashes." Let's see back in the Gemara. So the fifth line, put on the brach, Chovel Mavir in a Mishnah. Vim Tim Salom Mishnah, if you want to say that was a teaching about Chovel Mavir, Chovel B'tzarik L'Kalbo, so you'd have to say what the Tana means, that if you're Chovel and you need the blood to feed your dog, Mavir B'tzarik L'Faro Mavir, you need the ashes. So the Gemara says now, the Gemara asks against Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu taught this Braisa that Chovel Mavir were exceptions. In other words, all the Mekalklim are Peturim, except for Chovel Mavir. That's the Braisa that Rabbi Bau taught. So he says, V'hanan Tanan kul Mekalklim Peturim. But in our Mishnah, our Mishnah just says blanket. All Mekalklim are Peturim. That all people who act destructively, they're Patur. So how can you, Rabbi Abahu, adduce that there's a Braisa that says all Mekalklim Peturim, except A and B, except Chovel Mavir? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Matnitin Rabbi Yehuda, Braita Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah follows the Tana, it's Machloka Tanaim. Our Mishnah follows the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who holds indeed that all Mekalklin are Peturim, and the Braisa follows Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Chov and Lamavi are exceptions. My time with Reb Shimon, what's the reason for the Tana Reb Shimon who holds that Chov and Lamavi are exceptions to the general rule? Mida Ischikra the Mishrei Mila. So the Pasuk teaches me explicit, or not explicitly, but it says, Bayom Hashmini Yimo Basar Orlato, because I'll teach us that the word Bayom, I think, is an extra word, and teach me that I do the Mila even if it comes out on Shabbos, even though I'm Chovel, even though I'm making a wound in the child, which would otherwise be a Malacha, but if the Bris Mila comes out on Shabbat, so I still have the mitzvah to go forward and to do the Bris Mila on Shabbat. So since the Torah goes out of its way to teach me that, HaChovel Ba'al Mechayev, so I could, you know, extrapolate from that Chovel is normally prohibited, and in this case, it's permissible because we have the midst of the Torah teaching me it's permissible. He says, Umida Asa Rachman Havara Gabi Bat Kohen. So if a Bat Kohen is Mizana, so she gets Srefa, right? It says, it's coming up, oh, we had it already, in Parshas Emor, Bat Kohen Kitechel is noted, Abihim Echalalet. So a Bat Kohen gets Srefa. So Srefa doesn't mean we throw you into, you know, the fire. Srefa means we heat up molten lead and put it down your throat. It's a horrible thing, but it's you know, remember, you might remember for, but the Mishnah in Sech Sanhedrin says ski the strafe herig v'chenek, but then it's machloka tanaim. So the right, the mitod are in the order of the severity. So the way we hold skila is the most chamor, but there's another opinion that holds strafe skila. Strafe is the most chamor. So anyway, let's get back in the Gemara. So he says, "With Asa Rachmana Havar Gabi Bat Kohen," the Torah tells me, here's just the opposite. The Torah tells me, even though I have a mitzvah to execute the Bat Kohen, but notwithstanding that, I should not do it because it involves Havara. On Shabbat, we're talking about. On Shabbat, he says, "Shmamina Mavir Ba'al Mechayev." So from here I see that normally Mavir I would be chayev for. The Torah tells me not to do Mavir, even though it's a mitzvah to execute the Bat Kohen. I see that Mavir would be something to be mechayev me for. Okay, now, so let's go slowly. So the Tana Reb Shimon holds that in general you have to be metakein. All the malachot are for tikkun, but Chovel and Mavir are exceptions to the rule, and Chovel, based on Pesukim and Mavir, you're chayef for, even though it's destructive action, even destructive. I don't need the blood for the dog, and I don't need the ashes. I'm still chayef for Malacha Doraisa, according to the Tana Reb Shimon. He says, now Reb Yehuda disagrees with that. He holds Chovel and Mavir are only chayef if I have something constructive involved with it, meaning I need the blood for the dog or I need the ashes. I don't know, the ashes maybe for medicinal purposes or something like that. So he says, Reb Yehuda, Hatam attacking who could Ravashi. Reb Yehuda says that proof's not a proof. You're right. By Bris Mila, the Torah says I'm allowed to do it on Shabbat, and otherwise I'd be prohibited. But that's a tikkun. The Amar Ravashi, Malin Takin Mila, Malin Takin Kli. In other words, the tikkun, it's a different type of tikkun. It's a religious tikkun, a spiritual tikkun. In other words, the person is healthy and or the child's healthy, wonderful. You know, Ruth, I think you have your thing. You need to mute yourself, Ruth, okay? Let me help you. Okay. So the that's not a proof against me. I hold from that. Of course, I hold from Bismillah, but there's a tikkun taking place. And then he says, Malu Vashel Petila, Malu Vashel Samanim. And then as far as executing is concerned, so the issue is, you know, you're kind of heating up this Petila, but that's like a type of Bishul on Shabbat. This is the way Rashi learns. In other words, so Bishul, we know, is a Malacha. So that Bishul, it does accomplish something. So, of course, that's one of your chayiv. Okay, let's just review what we said for 1 minute, and then then I'll pause in a few. I want to do just a little piece, and I'll get to you, Ruth, okay? Haven't forgotten about you, Ruth. Okay, so, again, the basic idea we learned is that, quote, the general rule, just remember the Aleph Beis, you'll be 10 yards ahead of everyone else, that for Malach on Shabbos, you have to be Metakin. If you're Mekalkil, you're Patur. That's the Aleph Beis. Mekalkil is Patur in Shabbat. Now, the Gemara deduces that when it comes to Chovel and Mavir, so we have exceptions. So according to the Tana Reb Shimon, Chovel and Mavir are absolute exceptions to that rule. And even though you're Mekalkil, you're Chayev. So according to the Tana Reb Shimon, if, you know, I'm Chovel somebody on Shabbat, I don't need the blood for the dog. I don't need anything. I'm still Chayev, 100%. I'm Chayev for that. And then by Mavir, I burn something down. I don't need the ashes. I don't need anything with that. I'm still Chayev on Shabbat. That's according to the Tana That's according to the Tana of Reb Shimon. And Reb Yehuda says, no, it really is following the general klal. If there's something positive there, if I'm chovel, I need the blood for the dog. Mavir, I need the ashes. Then I'm chayev. Otherwise, I'm not chayev. All right, now, that's the way Tosfos learns the sugyam. And then the Tosfos, if you look at the, it's the bottom line of the bottom Tosfos, he says, that they had a mesora, that there was such a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon concerning, chovel and mavir. Now, Rashi, again, this is a complicated sugya. Rashi wants to connect this up to another machloket. All right, let me get to the Ruth for a second. She's been patient. Okay, what do you got for me, Ruth? Let me hear. Ruth, what do you have? Unmute yourself, Ruth. I can't hear a word you're saying.
Sorry. You sort of answered it. The whole idea of the ashes is kind of a muddy thing. It doesn't quite come together. It doesn't congeal in terms of any kind of malacha. But I guess that's the whole nature of ashes.
No. In other words, I couldn't eat the ashes. Sometimes they had medicines that they would apply ashes to a wound. Or I might ash and maybe ashes to for writing purposes or something like that. But I need the ashes for a positive purpose. That's what the ashes are about. Okay, so let me go back and mute you. Okay, all right now, the Rashi connects this machloket to a machloket that we do know about. In other words, like, where is this machloket coming out from? In other words, the Gemara says, like, the Gemara takes it like you say, like you know, remember with the Greek tragedies, they refer to in media race in the middle of things. So here, the Gemara just says, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Brice is like Reb Shimon. But we don't know anything about this machloket from anywhere else in Shas. So Rashi links this up to a machloket we do know about by Malacha Shein and Tzricha L'Gufa. Remember, Malacha Shein and Tzricha L'Gufa is machloket Rashi. We had this just, it feels like a million years ago, but it was just stuff Tzadi Gimel, and we're on Kuf Vav. So that's 13 dapim ago in dafyomi terms, but doesn't it feel like a long, long time ago. Remember, the person has a dead body in the house, and he wants the dead body out of the house. So that's an example of Malacha Sheinat Tzricha L'Gufa. Or, in other words, now Tosfos says, I'm doing it for a purpose other than what was in the Mishkan, but let's focus on Rashi. Rashi says, I do the Malacha for not a positive purpose. In other words, I just want the body out of the house. It's like not, or let's say I have a snake. I capture the snake. I don't want the snake to bite me. So I don't want, positive would be I capturing an animal. I need the animal. I want the hide, the meat, or whatever. That's the positive. But I just don't want it. That's Malacha Sheinat Tzricha L'Gufa, according to the way Rashi understands it. So we had a machloket tanayim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, Malacha Sheinat Tzricha L'Gufa, you're chayev, and Rabbi Shimon holds your patur. So Rashi wants to say that here, by Chovel and by Mavir, we're also dealing with a Malacha Sheinat Tzricha L'Gufa, that the person himself, doesn't need the blood. In other words, let's say I go up to you, I stab you, and I need the blood. So he wants to say that let's do Reb Shimon first. So Reb Shimon holds that Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is patur. So he takes it as a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and Mimela, whether there's anything positive or not doesn't make a difference. It's I'm patur on it, and that's why Chovel and Mavir. That's why Chovel. No, wait, I didn't say right. I'm sorry. I didn't say something right. One minute. I'm saying it right. One second. Tana Rav Shimon holds that you're chayav for Chovel and Mavir. One second. Give me 1 second. Right. So according to the Tana Reb Shimon, so I should be patur from it. In other words, it's malacha shein tzricha legufa, so left to my own devices, I should be patur. But he has the limud from the psukim to teach me that I'm chayiv. That's the way Rashi learns it. And according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the psukim are not probative of the issue. According to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, even though malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayiv, but there has to be something positive about it, something positive. So he holds that, so there is some element of, you know, positivity about it, that I need the blood for feed the dog, and I need the ashes. So that's some element of something positive in it. So again, the key with Rashi is that he's able to link this up to a machloket that we know about. Malacha sheni tzricha legufa. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayev, and that's the Rabbi Yehuda here. So it's Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, but there is something, you know, positive about it. I do need something positive about it. That's what he's adding on. And according to Rishimon, it should be Patur, but he has the Limud from the Psukim. No, I'm Chayev across the board. So, okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did on this sugya? All right, let's go further. All right.
So Rabbi Shimon is more Machmir.
In this instance, yeah, he is. In this instance, he is.
Okay. How does Rabbi Yehuda answer the Kohen case?
So he said that because when you're heating up the lead, yeah, that's Bishul. That is a positive thing. In other words, that's the way Rashi learns. That, let's look at the Rashi. He says, Bishul Petila, it's 8 lines from the bottom in Rashi, Shumalik Petila Shavar, but not Latoch Pia, but Derek Bishul Huzeh, Vachayavala Bishul, Shinamakakalavar, but Bishul Olam, and talking with Tzoref. In other words, he's improving the lead. He's like smelting the lead. So that's something positive. That's the way Rashi learns. All right. Now, let me go further in the Gemara. But there's a whole tumult among the Rishonim how to learn this sugya. All right, now 2 lines from the bottom. Okay, Manitin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. I'm sorry, I 4 lines from the bottom. Shira Malabein Mechuli. We said the Shira from Malabein was Kimlo Rochav Hasit Kaful. We said sit is the distance between my index and my middle finger. If I double that distance, that's the amount that we're talking about with a thread. So if I clean that on Shabbat, then I'll chayiv for malabein. If I untangle that amount on Shabbat, I'm chayiv for menapetz. Shir malabein chulei. Rav Yosef machvi kaful. Rav Yosef showed 2 fingers like this, which you have to double. Then it says Rav Chibra Ami machvi pashut. Pashut, he took the distance between the thumb and the index finger, which he said was double the distance between the index and the middle finger. I didn't measure it with a ruler, but in other words, this like a victory sign versus this. So he felt that this, it was double that. Anyway, but you get the idea. All right. Now, Matnitin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hatzat Sipur L'Migdal. Now, we're moving to Tzeda. Tzeda is a malacha, capturing an animal on Shabbat. So in the Mishkan, they captured the tchashim, those multicolored animals, you know, to capture them and slaughter them and use the hides for the Mishkan. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hatzat Sipur L'Migdal. According to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if I capture a bird in a closet, so in other words, I get the bird, now the bird's in the closet, he says, Utsvi L'Bayit, or I enclose a deer in a house, I'm chayiv. Now, Rashi points out that the bird in the house would not work out, because the bird in the house, I mean, this is what Rav Kahati said, but I'm adding a little with Rashi, like the bird is going to run, you know, fly here, fly there, fly the other place, and then Rashi says it could even fly out a window, you know, the windows were like openings in the wall, so it's not Seda if I have the bird in the house, whereas the deer in the house, now the deer is contained. That I have. But Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, Tzipur L'Migdal, the Chachamim say, with bird, we agree with you. So everybody's on the same page with bird. I have to put the bird in a migdal, into like this closet. And then turn page, the top line of Kofavim Beis, Utsvi, and the Bach adds, Utsvi, Lebayit, Ulagina, Ulachatzer. The Tzvi could be captured in the house, like Rabbi Huda says, but the tzvi could also be captured if it's placed in a gina, a garden, or a chatzer, Ulubibarin Chayav is what the Mishnah says, meaning an enclosure. Now, when we say garden and chatzer, it doesn't mean like an open yard. It means like a fenced-in enclosure. So it doesn't have to dafka be that the tzvi is in the house, but it could be in this enclosure. And we'll have to see what the point of dispute is. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol bibarin shavin. Rav Shimon Gamliel says not all bibarin. Bibarin is an enclosure. Not all enclosures are the same. Zeh klal mechuser tzeder patur, shein mechuser tzeder chayav. In other words, if even when it's in the enclosure, it's not captured, then I'm patur. If it's in the enclosure, it's considered captured, then I'm chayev. So what does that mean? It means, like the Gemara is going to say, if I can get the animal in one lunge, then I've committed seida. In other words, if the enclosure is so small that I would just do one lunge, I have the animal in my grasp, then that's an act of seida. But if I have like a big, I got like, you know, I have the deer, I have the OK Corral, and it's like a whole fence around it. And the deer, even though I put the deer in the corral, I haven't done an act of tzeda because there's more to do to capture the deer. Everybody got that? Okay, so now the way it comes out from the Gemara is that Rav Shimon Gamliel is explaining the Shita of the Chachamim. So not that there's a machloket, but between the Chachamim and Shimon Gamliel, but that's what it means to be tzeda. So it means I have to have the animal bird in an enclosure where it's not going to escape, and I can get my hands on the animal, and it's not going anywhere. I don't have to run around, you know, running here, there, and the other place to get the animal. Okay? All right. Now, the Gemara says, any questions on the Mishnah? Everybody good? What's up, Fernia?
Just a general question. If you have a bug, and you go like this to the bug, and you kill it on Shabbos,
right?
Is that a chabura? Is that a tzeda?
It's netilas neshama, taking the life. It's a told of shochet. You're taking the life of a creature on Shabbat. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a look. Now, so the Gemara says, Tananatam, we learned the Mishnah Masechet Beah, in sadim dagim in a bibar in biyom tov. A person is not allowed to capture fish from a bibar is an enclosure, but with fish it's a pond. In other words, I have fish in a pond, and I may have that may be part of my, you know, effort as a person who's raising fish, but I'm not allowed to capture those fish on yontiv. Now on yontiv, I'm allowed to do melechet okal nefesh. I can do work that relates to preparing food, but the way Rashi learns in the Gemara Masechet Beah, I can only do those things that could not equally have been done on Erev Yontiv. So if it's a type of a malacha that could just as easily have been done on Erev Yontiv with no harm to the food, then I'm not allowed to do those on Yontiv. Now, the sheet of the Bali Tosfot is that only from the malacha of Lash going forward are you chayav on Yontiv. So Seida, you're not allowed to do Seida on Yantiv. That's the bottom line. You can't do Seida on Yantiv. And I had a Chavrusa, Rabbi Moshe Shaps, who showed me that Tosos with Lash. Okay, let's take a look where he mentioned it. Anyway, so on the fourth line. So Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah Masechet Beah. In Sadam Dagim Barim Biyom Tov, I'm not allowed to capture fish from the pond on Yantiv. And I can't give them food on Yantiv. So Rashi learns, let's look at the Rashi, that the issue with the food is a separate issue. We're interested in Seda, but Bryce mentions it, so I'm trying to explain it. Okay, so he says, if you look at the first line in Rashi, Rashi says, since the fish are muksa, in other words, something which is not captured is considered to be muksa. So since the fish are muksa, so I'm not allowed to feed, you know, a muksa animal. Actually, the animal would be muksa under all circumstances. The animals are muksa. So leave out the pact about not being captured with that. Now, there's another idea. Tosfos, Rav Kati quoted Tosfos, I think, in Masechet Beah, who says that, remember I mentioned like feeding animals is a gezeira for tzeda. In other words, like a person, a hunter, normally feeds the animals and then captures them. So it's a different hesber. It's a harachaka against tzeda on yantiv. In other words, you can't do tzeda, you can't feed the animal. And then there's another idea which Tosfos over here speaks about, which is it's a tircha yeterim, even though it doesn't matter if it's very little effort on your part, but if I'm making an effort for an animal that I'm not obligated to feed, an animal that's not captured is considered I'm not obligated to feed, so then that's a tircha yeterim on Shabbat, okay? So whatever it is, you're not allowed to give them a zonot. Aval, here's the key. Sadin chayav of, you're allowed to capture a chayav of. It means that they're in an enclosure. In other words, the chaya is the wild animal, like a deer and the bird. We don't even name a zonot. And I can give them a zonot. So if it's already captured, so the last two hesberim work out more easily with this, with the muksa hesber from Rashi. I'm not 100% so clear how to explain that line. Chayva Of, and only her name is Zonot, because a Chayva Of would still be Muksa, unless he's figuring different types of Muksa. Anyway, Chayva Of, don't know her name is Zonot. Okay, so the point is, from the Mishnah in Masechet Beya, I'm allowed to capture a Chayva Of that are in an enclosure. He says, Raminhu, on this I pose a contradiction from the following Brisa, and this Brisa is from the Tosefta Masechet Beya. He says, Bibarim shel chayav shel ofod v'shel dagim, the enclosures of chayot, of wild animals, and ofod, and birds, and dagim, and fish, ain't sadin mehem di yom tov. You can't capture them on yantiv. Vein not nim lefnei mezonot. You can't feed them. So kasha chaya chaya, kasha ofod ofod. So we have a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Mishnah says, I'm not allowed, let's just focus on the chaya, the of. The Mishnah says, I cannot capture, even though they're in an enclosure, I'm not allowed to capture a chaya and of on yantiv.
Mishnah says
I got it. Okay, Yosef, okay. So the Mishnah says that I could capture it, and the Brisa says I can't capture it. So the Gemara says, ofot, ofot. So the Gemara says, kasha chaya chaya, kasha ofot, ofot. So b'shleim chaya chaya lo kasha. The Gemara says, the discrepancy with chaya will be able to resolve. He says, ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan. We could say that one is following the sheets of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and one is following the sheets of the Chachamim. Remember, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Tzvi is only considered to be captured if it's in the Bayit. Imagine it must be like a very small one-room type of house. Then it's captured. Whereas the Chachamim hold that a Tzvi, even if it's an enclosure, is considered to be captured. So we could say that the Mishnah that says that I'm allowed to capture the animal on Yantiv is talking about like within the sheet of the Chachamim, that it's in an enclosure, and I could capture it because it's already nitzot, it's already captured. Whereas the Braisa that says I can't, that could be following the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Ela ofo to ofo kasha, but the birds that I have difficulty with, because remember with the birds everybody agreed it had to be in a closet to be captured. Maybe this will say there's a way that we can resolve the contradiction with the birds. And the baka is bi haba bibar makura. Perhaps the Mishnah says that I can capture the bird, so I have an enclosure with a roof on it. He says, haba bibar shena makura. But the Brisa that says I'm not allowed is it's an enclosure, but no roof on it. So the Gemara says, b'habayit demakurahu, but does that make sense? But let's say I have a bird in a bayit, which is clearly with a roof, ubein the Rabbi Yehuda, ubein the Rabbanan, sipur the Migdal, in the bayit lo. In other words, everybody holds, even if there's a roof on it, that doesn't mean that the bird is captured. It has to be in a closet, not in a house. So here we're talking about that they're in an enclosure. It's obviously bigger than a closet. So there's no havamin to say that the bird is considered to be captured. So Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rabba Rav Huna says, Hacha b'tzipur drura askinan. Rabba says like this. In the Mishnah, when we said the bird has to be placed in a closet, there are birds and birds. We talk about a really wild bird, like flying here, there, the other. You know, it's like you have your sweet little bird. You know, it stays there, and this bird is like flying here, there, get out of here. So it's like your nightmare. So hakab tzipur drora skinan. So in the Mishnah, that's a tzipur drora. Yeah, that has to be in a closet. Lefisha inam kabbalat marut. It doesn't accept mastery. It doesn't like humans, you know, controlling it. The times of Rabbi Shmuel, because the Bryce was taught from the base measure of Yishmael, Lamed Krashma Tzipur Dror. Why is it called Tzipur Dror? Like it says, It like lives in the house like it does in the field, but it means like the same lifestyle that it had in the field and in the house. So for that, I need to be in a closet. But Mamela, then if it's not that Sipur drawer, so then, and again, here there's no machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. They all hold that Sipur drawer, I need the closet. So then I could just say that the right, that the Mishnah that says that I can capture the bird is talking about where it's roofed over, and then it's an enclosure with a roof. It's a, but not this, not the wild, wild bird. It's like more a more tame bird, and it's roofed over. That's considered that I can capture because it's already captured. And the unroofed area, that I can't. It's this nice, sweet bird, but now the bird can fly off. He says, so the Gemara says, Hashta atit lahachim. So now you've explained it this way, meaning that you've been able to explain the Mishnah and the Braisa without resorting to machloket tanaim. In other words, before we had with the chaya, right, we said that one was like Rabbi Yehuda and one was like the Chachamim. But now that you're showing me there's a way to explain it both, you know, according to, let's say, the Chachamim. So he says, Chayachaya nami lo kasha. I could also explain the discrepancy between the chayot, haba bibur gadol, haba bibur katan, that when the Mishnah says I can capture the chaya, it's a small enclosure. And when the Mishnah says I cannot capture the chaya, it's a larger enclosure. So heichi dami bibur gadol, heichi dami bibur katan. So what's a larger enclosure? What's a small enclosure? So amar bashi, kul heichi derayt batre, umati labachat shichya, bibur katan. Any enclosure where I can run after my prey and grab it with one thrust, you know, then that's a bibar katan. That's a small enclosure. And then that I'm allowed to do on Yantiv because the animal is, you know, he's already captured by being in such a small enclosure. He says, v'idach bibar gadol. Everything else is a bibar gadol, is a larger enclosure. Inami, or in the alternative, I could say, kul heichad nafil tula diktali mahadade. And here, it's different pshat in what it means, but one pshat is where the shadow of one wall reaches the other wall. So here I was thinking it might be that there's no roof on it. It's an animal enclosure. You know what I mean? I didn't look in the Perush Chai Yosef. Maybe you'll have your Perush Chai. You'll tell me if they have a picture of it there. But So Tosfos points out, if you look at the second last Tosfos, Heichanafli Tula Dikhtalim. Now, when it comes to a wall, obviously the taller the wall, the longer the shadow. So Tosfos says, Hayalem Shir Hakhtalim Shabeh, Bayuodim Shiran. There was a standard height for walls, Bisman Chazal. That's what, so they said, if the shadow of one wall reaches the other wall, that's a Bibar Katan, otherwise a Bibar Gadol. Okay, then, so Kol Heichanafil. So inami kol hecha d'nafil tula d'ktal ma'adadi bibar katan v'idach bibar gadol v'inami kol hecha d'leka uksei bibar katan. Or else I could say, where there are not a lot of corners here there, like for the animal to hide, that's a bibar katan v'idach bibar gadol. Otherwise, bibar gadol. Okay, let's just summarize what we did and get it all together. Okay, the basic idea again. Just remember the basic idea. The basic idea. Okay, the basic idea is that if an animal is already captured to such a degree that I can lay my hands on the animal with no difficulty, that animal is considered nitzod. It's like so-called captured. Like, I got to run here, run there, run there. I can't get a hold of it. So notwithstanding the fact that it's in a pen and can't go everywhere it wants to, that animal is not captured. So the animal that is captured, so I'm allowed to take that animal on Yantiv. It's already captured. And then, sometimes I could shecht an animal on Yantiv. If I didn't shecht an animal before Yantiv, so I could shecht the animal on Yantiv. All right, now, so again, in the Mishnah, wait just a minute. In the Mishnah, just 1 minute, sir, in 1 minute. So in the Mishnah, we said that with the bird, so everybody agreed it had to be in a Migdala closet, but we ended up explaining that's talking about a bird that's a Sipur drawer, like this really wild, wild bird. That has to be in a closet. But if it's not such a Sipur drawer, so it doesn't have to be in a closet. It could be as long as it sounded like if it's in a roofed area, then I'm good. All right. Now, notwithstanding that, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Tzvi has to be in a bayit and not an enclosure. So I'm not exactly sure how the bite is different than the enclosure, but that's the way that goes. That was your question, Fern. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on this? What's up, Olivia? Let me hear. Unmute yourself.
How come the kashrus status of the bird is not taken into account at all?
So you mean whether it's a kosher bird or not kosher bird? Well, first of all, we're talking about the malach of tzeda. So tzeda is the same whether it's kosher bird or non-kosher bird. But if that would be with the bird. But when we talk, that's by malachat Shabbos. By Hilchos Yantiv, Yantiv, there, Lechora, I would get into an issue, presumably, of taking the bird to eat it for lunch. So then, presumably, it would be a kosher bird. That's the only thing I could say. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Did I just hear you say that if the bird is enclosed in a closet and it's needed for Seder, you can shecht it on Shabbos?
No, I did not say that.
What did you say?
I said on Yantiv you could shecht it. All right. Now, okay, let's go on. All right, now, let's see further. Any other questions? Okay, please mute yourself, Ruth, okay? Now, all right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amir Mechuli. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that not all bibarim are the same, and not all enclosures are the same, and if I can get at the animal, it's captured, otherwise not. So Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Shmuel says Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So it means like if it's something with one lunge, I get the animal, so it's already captured. So Amar Le'abaye, Halacha, Mechlad the Pligi, from the fact that you quoted this halacha, so Abaye is speaking to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was his rabbi. So Rav Yosef's quoting Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, that the halacha follows Rav Shmuel. So he says, from the fact that you say the halacha follows Rav Shmuel, can I interpret from your statement that there's a machloket about this? If you say the halacha follows B and not A, so then it sounds like, is that the case? So Amar Le Maynach Galach Mina. He says, well, why do you care? What difference does it make? This is the halacha. So what difference does it make if it's machloket about it? So Amar Le, Gemara is more tehei. So the learning be there's like a song. In other words, I want to understand what's going on with that. So this is what's talui with understanding the Mishnah. So a lot of the Mefarshim take it that since there's no answer to that, indeed, that Rabbi Shmuel is explaining the Shita of the Chachamim. Now, with this Moritz Tehei, I think, I didn't look it up, but remember I told you there's this Tiferet Yisrael, I think it's in Maseches Erchin, where he says that the Gemara oftentimes mentions Chisuri Mechsra of Ahachi Katani. This is if there are words missing in the Mishnah, this is the way we should understand the Mishnah, and then the Gemara has a whole bunch of more words to put in the Mishnah. So it's Tiferet Yisrael wants to say, he's like Mesupak, but he thinks, Lechora, you want to say that they had a melody for each Mishnah. In other words, they're like memorizing all the Mishnayot. They know the melody, and that they would not like. It was like you could say like they left words out of the Mishnah. You say that they left the words out intentionally to fit the song. In other words, I have to memorize all 10,000 Mishnayot, so I need, and I'm doing it by a song to remember it better. So they would leave words out, and so when the Gemara says Chisuri Mechsera, it means that it's missing words because of the song. So he quotes, I think, this Gemara. It says like, should your learning just be like a song? In other words, in Akinami they were singing, but it shouldn't just be like a song. You know what I mean? It was it's like a remnant that they would have the singing by the Mishnayot. Okay, let's see further than Gemara. Okay. All right, Tana Rabbanan, everybody with me? So Tana Rabbanan, Hatzat Svi Suma V'yashen Chayav. If I capture a blind or a sleeping deer, I do the Melechet Seda on Shabbat. Chiger V'zaken V'chole Patur. But if the deer was lame, let's say it's hobbling around, or it's an elderly deer, or it's a sick deer, I'm patur, I'm not chai for tzeda. So that's the brisa. So Amalei Abaye the Rav Yosef. So Abaye again is speaking to his Rebbe Rav Yosef. Mashnahani, mashnahani. What's the difference between the blind and the sleeping deer that I'm chai for, and the elderly, sick, and the lame one that I'm not liable for? So Hani Abaye the Ravuye. So Rav Yosef says that when it comes to the blind and sleeping one, they will slip away. You know, it's blind, but it's healthy. I mean, he's going to try to like escape your grasp. And the same thing the sleeping deer. He says, so Mela, you are chaya for tzeda if you capture them. He says, Hani lo avidu l'rabuye. The other ones, they're not going to fight you. You know, they're like, you know, they're good with it. Like, in, so the Gemara says, v'hatanya, but we learned the b'raisa, chola chayav. So we just said that if I capture a sick deer, I'm patur from tzeda. And again, I'm patur from tzeda on Shabbat. And again, patur generally means patur valasur, but one of our exceptions is seda tzvi, but we'll, not this case, but it's coming up. So he says, vatani chola chayav, amrav sheisha lukasha, haba chola machmat ishta, if it's sick because of fever, then you're going to be chayav. In other words, even though the animal has some fever, he'll still, you know, try to run away. He says, haba chola machmat uptsina, but if it's sick because like fatigue or whatever, then you're not chayav for tzeda with it. Okay. So this will relate, like in other words, like they had in one of the sheets, like let's say I have a turtle, capture, or a snail. So I capture the turtle or the snail on Shabbat. The turtle and snail are muksa, so that's not good. I know you always ask me these things, yeah, they're muksa, but I'm not chai for tzeda if I capture a turtle on Shabbat, you know. I capture a rabbit, yeah, I'm chai for tzeda on Shabbat, and the rabbit, you know, like zooms off. All right, now, Tana Rabbanan, Hatzad chagavim gazin sirin v'yitushim b'shabbat chayav divrei Rav Meir. If a person captures like locusts, grasshoppers, hornets, and mosquitoes, so I'm chayav according to the Tana Rav Meir. But chachamim saying, kol shvinonitzot chayav. If people generally capture that, so then you're chayav for it. Kol shvinonitzot patur. So Rashi takes it that the grasshoppers here are kosher grasshoppers and that people do capture them, so I'm chai for that seda. But when it comes to mosquitoes and hornets, so people generally don't go around capturing them. So I'm patur from Alechet Seda on Shabbat with that. So Tani Idach, but I learned in a different brisa, Hatzad Chagavim B'Shara Tal Patur B'Shara Shrav Chayav, that when it comes to the locust or the grasshoppers, if I capture at the time when there's dew on the ground, I'm patur. Rashi says, and I'm sorry, I don't have an entomologist in our Dafyomi group, Rashi says that the grasshoppers are like blinded by the dew. So I don't know how this works, but obviously if a blind grasshopper, they're a lot easier to capture, right? They don't see you creeping up to them and, you know, clasping your hands around them. So he says, so b'shana tal patur, b'shana shrav chayav, at the time of the intense heat, like say l'kamsin, then you're chayav. Elazar ben Mahavayomer, imayu mekalchu rabo patur. If they're swarming, your patur swarming, they're all like, it's very easy. Like I just, you know, close my hands, like it was like you know, I'm in like a cloud of locusts. So I just close my hands, I got it. I'm patur for that. So he says, so the Gemara says, Yibayelahu. The question was asked in the base medrash, Elazar ben Mahavaya Resha Koi. Was he referring to the Resha? Meaning, the Resha of the Bryce that we did was that at the time of the Tal on Patur, did he mean that that Patur is only if they're swarming and it's the time of the Tal, then on Patur? He says, Oa Seifa Koi. Or is he referring about the Seifa, the time of intense heat? I'm Chayav, but notwithstanding that, if they're swarming on Patur. So Tashma, we're going to learn another Bryce. Hatzad chagavim b'shara tal patur. If a person captures these, does he say grasshoppers or locusts for them?
Grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers. So he captures the grasshoppers at the time of the dew is patur. B'shara sharab chayav, at the time of the since heat is chayav. Elazar b'mahavai omer, afil b'shara sharab, imayu mekalcho rubav patur. So Elazar b'mahavai says, even time of the sharab, but if they're swarming, I'm still patur with that. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Yeah, what did the Chachamim say? I missed what the Chachamim say here.
Where? Here?
Yeah. Dibur Rameh Chachamim Omim Ko Shebimino Nitzah Chayav.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so the Chachamim say if it's something that people generally capture, in other words, like you go around and people do capture this type of creature, then I'm Chayav for Seda. But if it's something that nobody would ever go around capturing, in other words, like nobody captures mosquitoes, nobody captures hornets. So according to Chachamim, I'm patur from that. According to Chachamim, I'm patur from it. Let me see what he says here. One minute. Same.
You would think the opposite, no?
I no no what no 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 no. Why would I think the opposite? Let me hear.
Since animals, some animals are get trapped, and you'd be chayav if you trap them.
Wait. If it's
they usually get trapped, then you'd be chayav if you trap them. If not,
right? That's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. Okay.
Yeah, right. If it's something that people usually trap, then you're chayav. If not, then not. Okay. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. Okay. So we're the last narrow line on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. Okay, we're making our way through this Masechta, and we're a good way through it already. It's just Kuf Nun Zion is the end of the Masechta, I think. All right, let's take a look. And we have some very nice Gemaras coming up. All right, so the last narrow line, Matnitin, Svi Shenechnas Labayit, if a deer enters a house, V'na'al Achab Fanav Chayav, and then somebody comes and locks the door. So the Svi walks in on his own volition into the house, and then I lock the front door. So I'm chayev, because I'm capturing the deer. Na'alu shnayim p'turim. But if two people lock the door or close the door, let's say close the door. One person closes the door, he's chayev. Two people close the door, that's shnayim shasa'ua. Remember we learned earlier in the Masechta, if two people do malacha, they're p'turim. Lo yechol achad l'nol v'na'alu shnayim. Let's say one person, it's a very heavy door, and one person on his own could not close the door, and now two people close the door, so chayavin. Now they are chayav because now that type of malacha, if you need two people, you are chayav. Roshin poter. Roshin learns that across the board, you had this earlier, two people to do it doesn't make a difference if one person couldn't do it on his own. They're p'turim. All right. Now the Gemara says, Amar b'yirin b'abba mar Shmuel hatzara riba Shabbat. If a person captures a lion on Shabbat, eino chayav ad shechni sena l'gur zaki shelo. He's not chayav for tzeda. So he gets the lion into the lion cage. In other words, like the fact that I have a lion, I'm going to lock the lion. Doesn't mean that I've done an act of tzeda with a lion. This lion can fight back, can bite my head off and get free. So tzeda means the animal is secure under my dominion and control. So if I get the lion into the cage, no, I was saying, what was the name of that lion tamer? He passed away recently. He was this German fellow that and he was mauled by the lion. I can't remember his name. Does anybody remember? Anyway, he just passed away about a month ago. But they had like this show they would show in Las Vegas, and they're playing around with all these wild animals and stuff. And then the lion came and attacked him, and really did a lot of injury to him. And so lions are very dangerous. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now last Mishnah. I think Ruth, you were at the earlier shiur. I think you had this, but let's see. We'll go over again. Manitin, this is a famous Mishnah, so it's good just to remember this Mishnah. So Yeshav ha'echad al petach v'lo malahu. If let's say Reuven sits, they don't close the door. Reuven sits in the entrance. There was a deer is in the house, and Reuven plops himself at the entranceway. He says, but he doesn't fill the entranceway, so the deer can still get out. Yeshav ha'sheni malahu ha'sheni chayav, and then somebody else comes along and sits next to him. So Shimon comes along. Shimon is chayav for tzeda. Yeshava rishon al petach malahu. Let's say the first one, he sits on the entranceway and he blocks the entranceway. Uvar sheni v'yashav b'tzido. And the second one comes. Now, the way that Tiferes Yisrael explains it, they quote it in the Aron Scroll, means like one person sits in the entranceway and the other person like sits, let's say, facing into the house. The other person comes and faces towards the outside. They're back to back. You understand what I'm saying? So I have an entranceway. The deer's in the house. Reuben comes and sits in the entranceway, and Reuben is facing into the house. His face is directed into the house, but he's sitting in the entranceway. Then Shimon comes, and he sits with his back to Reuven, facing outside the house. So let's see back in the Gemara. Who did he quote with this? This was... let me see. Yeah, the Tosfos Yantav. He quotes the Tosfos Yantav with this. So he says, "Upashini v'shabetzido, afal pishamara rishon v'halachlo." Even though then Reuven gets up and goes somewhere else, he says, "Harishon chayav hasheni patur." So the first person is still the one chayav etzeda, not the second person. Even though, as a result of the second person continuing to sit there, the deer cannot get out of the house.
He blocked the whole door.
In other words, Reuven blocked the whole entranceway. Then Shimon sat like with his back to Reuven and also blocked the whole entranceway. Then Reuven got up And
Chayiv.
So Reuben is Chayiv and not Shimon. So he says, Halamaza Dome, what is this similar to? Lenoela Beito Lashomro, if a person locks his house to like keep it guarded, let's say there was a deer that was already tied up inside the house, and I locked the house. So I'm just providing like extra shmira. In other words, the deer was already captured, and I'm doing extra shmira on it. So here the deer was already captured, and I'm just staying here. I'm not high for the act of tzeda. All right, now I think that's going to be it. Let me just see. Any questions on anything we did in today's daf? All right, let me see if there's anything to say from a story or anything like this. All right, this we did pretty much already. He's got a little bit about, let me see, about capturing animals. Let me see what we have. He's actually here. These are the sheet from Al Hadaf, you know, the Daf Digest, rather, the Daf Digest. So on Ahmed Bey's, he's quoting from the Rabbi Ribiot book that I've taken out in the past. So he talks about weak in animals. Okay, now, all right, I'll read just a drop about this. He says, an animal that's unable to avoid capture because it's infirm and cannot escape is not subject to tzad midoraisa, who's considered previously confined. And the young animal that cannot flee also, he says, but, however, trapping these animals is rabbinically restricted. By the way, I forgot to mention, here we said, I should have mentioned this, with the Tzedat Tzvi, that this was the case, I think. Let me take a look back at that mission that we just did. What did we say? Remember we said, the Gemara says, Kol Paturei de Shabbat, Patur of Alasur. Shmuel says in Daf Gimel, wherever it says Patur B'Shabbat, Patur of Alasur, Chutzla Mehani Tlat, except for these three. Tzedat Tzvi, Tzedat Nachash, Umapis Mursa. In other words, capturing the deer, and capturing the snake, and then lancing the boil. So I think the case with the deer is here. So what did the Mishnah say here? Harishon Chayav Shini Patur. Right. So here, like when one person is sitting in the entranceway, and then the other person sits with his back, the second one is patur, meaning he's totally mutar to do that. In other words, I have a heter to sit there. And here that doesn't mean patur or balasur, it's mutar. Okay, any event, so if the animal is like very weak, whatever, and can be captured easily, it's still prohibited on a rabbanon level. So he says, for example, one who finds a sick rabbit or a baby bird lying on the ground may not pick it up and bring it indoors or elsewhere to care for it because the act of grasping and holding it is sadmi drabanon. According to some poskim, trapping a sick animal is sadmi doraisa. All right, now there's an additional problem books that like, okay with that. Now, he says the very slow moving animals, so trapping them is permitted. So turtles, tortoises, snails, earthworms, caterpillars, even though they're muksa and they can't be handled, but so he says trapping is only permitted if they're not handled in the process. Then he gets into ants, let me do the flies and the roaches. Most flying insects, even species that are not very swift, are too elusive to be captured easily, and then therefore not be trapped. He says, including mosquitoes, moths, and things like that. I assume that would be a drabanan with the mosquito, because we said most people don't capture mosquitoes. Okay, let me stop the recording, and that'll be
it. I have a question.
Okay, then let me hear from you and then Livia. What's up?
We said regarding a fish, you can't capture it on Yom Tov in front of a pond.
Right.
What if you want a fresh fish to cook?
So if you want fresh fish.
Yeah, you want fresh fish.
Yeah, and if you put it in a very small container with water, then it's already captured. But if it's in a pond where it can swim here, there, and the other thing, get away from
it,
and they can't do it. All right. What's up, Olivia?
So in the bathtub, it would be okay, Rabbi, yes? In the bathtub.
It depends on the size of the bathtub and the size of the fish.
Like a bathtub at home. Yes, let's
say you have a guppy and it's a small fish, so then even in the bathtub would be a problem because it's like going to run here, there, and the other thing. You know what I mean? So I'm saying.
No, I was thinking of the car, whatever.
So I'm saying this depends on the size of the fish and the size of the bathtub.
I understand, bye-bye.
That's okay.
My question, why they didn't put together with the snake and Lansing the boil, why include the lion? In that list.
No. In other words, those things are teaching me that even though the Mishnah says it's patur, it means I'm mutar. I have a green light to do it. What do I have a green light to do with? In other words, where in the Mishnah does it? I mean, the lion we only mentioned in the Gemara, but it's saying that the lion is only captured when I put it in the cage. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't say. You know, anything, the Mishnah doesn't say there's a din of patur by lion. The Mishnah says patur by capturing the deer. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was, let's say in the Mishnayot, when it says patur, it means patur of Alasur, but by this case with the deer, it means mutar. Okay? With the lion, lion, we only mentioned that if it's in the cage, it's captured. But okay, that's it. Let me stop the recording. What's up?
Explain a little bit about that. The seating arrangement. This one is sitting toward the door, and this one with his back to him. But where is Chayev, and where is Potter, and why?
Okay,
what does it have to do with capturing?
Okay. Listen, and then that's going to be it. Okay, the deer goes into the house. All right, you with me, Ruth?
Yes.
The deer walks in the house.
Right.
The door is open.
Right.
Reuven comes and sits in the entranceway. Right.
Okay.
The deer is now captured. Reuven did a malacha d'oraisa. All right? Reuven is facing towards the interior of the house. Shimon comes and sits down with his back to Reuven, also blocking the entranceway. And then Reuven gets up. So the Gemara says that Shimon is patur. So when it says Shimon is patur, it means that he's mutar, that he has a green light to sit that way, okay? Because it was already captured before. Okay. Is okay?
As good as it gets, yeah.
Okay, that's it then. Okay, let me just end the